session number 10423, Reel 5.
Mr. Norman Harland, Reel 5. Have you any further memories of the retreat to Dunkirk, Mr. Harland?
Yes, I have. This is from my diary. I thought I'd better read it. We've been fighting all the way back to Dunkirk, and at this time we went through this alleyway where it led to a room with a lovely bed. And me and my mate, Woody Davison, decided to try it out. But as when we awoke, we found that everyone had gone. And as we were about to move out, we heard the sound of tracks, that's track vehicles, coming into the village. We go down, it was a carrier. We started to breathe again. We got aboard and moved out quick. On the way, we were in a house where several people were in a state of panic. We decided to take them back to our position, but they would not leave. PSM Bond, on reaching the battalion, we found them preparing to leave again. They were going to pass through Gondi Corps. At that time, we had more things on our minds, and the battalion stopped at a town was under heavy called Stevewood at about 8 a.m. but we did not stay long owing to a very heavy air attack. Leaving by foot in the direction of Castle, it had come a small force of Jerry attacked us, but we managed to beat them back. The battalion was now dug in along a canal full of water. There were many cows round here who had not been milked for days, and the farming lads in the battalion were going around milking them. Everyone seemed to be together. Brigade up. When it started, it was the day of the whole. It was the worst day of the whole withdrawal. Me and Woody took cover behind a house wall. But were forced to move into a cutting. It was at this place that the regimental sergeant was killed. He had gone through the Great War. On one occasion, here at night, I was told that we were on our way there.
Can I ask you some questions there, Mr. Harland?
Yeah.
What effects of the fighting and the fatigue, what effects were they having upon you and the men around you?
Well, we were all beginning to feel very tired. Also, we hadn't washed or shaved or anything. I remember it was very warm at that time, if you remember that year. It was a very warm year. Only such rain once. But I think most of us were very tired.
How did you cope?
How did we cook? We didn't
cope. How would you cope with the situation?
Well, we were good.
Was there humour?
Humour. Always humour.
You recall any particular?
Yes, I can remember when Bill Symes came in and I was lying amongst some cows, and he shouted, "You're coming, Norman!" I says, "I don't give a bug if the jury's come." But oh, they were all good lads. They were real. Everybody was good.
Was there Did you feel that there was any help from having firm religious views?
Religion didn't come into time. I don't think so. Not as far as I was concerned. It did once, eventually it will.
How did you feel that pride in yourself and your unit kept you going?
Well, the only pride I had now was to kill a jury if I could. And I'd kill two, I think. No, I don't think pride had all gone.
Were you aware, and were your friends aware that you mustn't let your mates down and you mustn't show?
No. We all stuck together. Everybody stuck together.
Did you see any instances of shell shock?
Quite a few. Yeah.
What form did that take?
Well, it just takes the form of the ones that had the shell shock went on to do well in the war. And it just takes the form of standing with your mouth wide open and you're doing what you're doing. There was a bad spot where that happened, very bad.
You didn't see or hear of any instances of men in such a state that they wanted to get out so much that they self-inflicted wounds or...
No.
No suicides?
Never. Not in the Durham, no. I've only mentioned one man that came back, and I presume he went back again after a bloody good belting from old Fleck.
Who was there?
Sergeant Fletcher. Uh-huh. He gave him a bloody good riding, and he sent him back in again.
And did you hear of any desertions?
No, desertions, no. The only ones I can think of is the ones that were back before the time. And most of them were NCOs. You see, I'm sorry to say that, but it's true.
You had a number of NCOs who
I can tell you a few, but I mean, should I go on there?
Well, if that's part of the story.
Well, I remember when I joined the TA, I'd become CQMS, and this bloke came in and he's saying, "Boy, will you get me a chair?" I says, "Get you a chair?" I says, "What the bloody hell do you think you are?" I says, "You're on like bloody hell of Germany, in France. Get yourself, your chair for your bloody self." It was Lewis, he called him. He was an RSM. I didn't know. Supposed to have been wounded. He got wounded because the crossbar in the football field fell on his head.
Or is this in France?
Somewhere up there, anyway.
And do you feel that NCOs were letting the men...
Oh, no. There were some good NCOs. There were some good officers and some good NCOs. There were some of these ones that I think they must have thought they were still at a Territorial Army camp. And once the shot started fire, they would go home. I'm sorry, but that wasn't who it was. On the whole, our battalion, we marched along Dunkirk Beaches as a battalion with Major McLaren in the front, and while all our officers there, not all of them, some was dead or prisoner.
Are there any further recollections?
Yes, there is. Well, on one occasion, I had to make a rush to get through a barbed wire fence, and in doing so, lost my small pack, in which was my Dixie. On one occasion, we had the made a stew, and I asked the young French bloke on this farm if he had a plate he could spare, and he says, "Do you think you want the Ritz?" I would have shot the bull, had me, if my mate had been, I'd have killed him straight away. And his grandfather, presumably, would be, went to the hutch and brought an old plate. I said, "I don't want that, I want bugger all of you, nothing." The farm wasn't really well looked after me when they left, I can tell that now. And that was very bad. Don't you think so? I had more courtesy from the Germans than I had from them people.
Did you, in the retreat, you were obviously still having lots of refugees on the roads?
Yes, but they didn't bother us very much. It was the most of the refugees was the one from Belgium. Aye. You see, in Belgium, the whole French army collapsed. As a matter of fact, while we were marching back into France, I'm definitely sure there was a horse and cart limber with a gun on, with a white flag on it. It was a funny war, man.
Did you have much connection with civilians retreating through France to the coast?
Well, they didn't want to tell you, man. The poor soul that was in that house that was crying, I think she was pregnant, expecting, you know, and I felt really sorry for him. But what could you do? And we couldn't, the one that come, they wouldn't come.
Which house was this?
This was the house when I was telling you about lying in bed and in the PSM picking us up and taking us back. And we stopped at this house where these women were. We meant we were going to take them back and they wouldn't leave with us.
You were too upset.
Why would I get them in, all right? But you know, when we got back to the beach, we were going to get a meal. I got much to do. Mm-hmm. We were going to get a meal. And Big Jack Harrison was the cook sergeant. But had no water. Because, you know, all the trucks was... Anyway, we brought one carry through, Lance Corporal Howe. And he volunteered to go back to a place where he knew was a water truck with water in. And he went back and brought it back. Naturally, he thought he'd be in the top of the queue. But Jack Harrison chased him back. Jack says, get back there. Back that bloody queue. That was Big Jack Harrison. That was the cook sergeant. He was a great war man, he was a good boy. All right, all right. PSMs, and they're all war men.
PSMs are?
There are PSMs, platoon sergeant, major. It's not a rank now. What two left? And they'll just let them die out, you see, what PSM born and PSM crags. But once that rank went, there were no more PSMs. See, instead of PSMs, there was an officer in charge of the platoon.
You weren't doing much stretcher bearing at this time?
Yes, I did a lot of... stretcher bearing, carrying with my arms on the way back from the first attack in the wood, the lot of lads badly hurt. And all my shell dressings had gone, all my... See, everybody's got a field dressing. What do you carry on your... Well, you know yourself. Our dad had all gone, and my shell dressings, I was useless.
Where was your RAP post?
The RAP was below the bank, just in Petit Bunny. Below.
And what distance was that from?
It'd be a long way. But there's the ADMS, you know. You can get them sold back and they get looked after there. Because it was settled down, things were quiet. But Harry Fletcher, our sergeant, didn't ever run about. You know, I'm saying I didn't do as much as I should do. I don't think I did. Well, I did some of it. I saved some lives. I saved some lives in the desert, and now...
Anyway, we've got to Dunkirk, and you're taken off on the 1st of June, I believe you said.
Yeah. We got on the boat on the 1st of June and arrived home on the 2nd. Now, while we were sitting waiting to pull away, well, when we pulled away, we felt a hell of a crash. And that was when I felt proud to be an Englishman. A young AB came dashing down the steps, clean and looked, you know, really nice. Don't worry, lads, we've only hit a bit submerged wreck. And that was when I felt proud to be English, as a matter of fact. Why, from then on, I fell asleep.
You don't recall much about...
I heard the anchor being lowered, and that's all. And going through that into a... It was like a... place outside, like where the customs are, you know, and women was there giving us cups of tea and cigarettes and that. They were good to us. They were taking care of the wounded lads, you know.
This is when you got back to Dover.
There was a lot of lads very badly wounded, you know, but they wouldn't go to the ambulance.
As you got off the ship, what happened? Were you paraded or?
Oh no, we simply marched off into this like a shed where the women had tea and spoons and things, you know. Then we were putting straight on train and taken straight away. We moved through, I remember going through Wimbledon. They were giving us all sorts in Wimbledon. And we stopped at Blackwater Camp. Can't believe it, Nalashot anyway. And there was a lot of Canadian lads there. I'd never been there. And they were all over us, like, you know. But there was one bloke in particular I didn't care much about. And he was English. And he was always criticised, saying, you're not bloody heroes, you know. So I went and reported him to the officer. But after that, we went to Rugeley, on Rugeley, and it was there, it was from there that I got 3 days leave. That was it.
You got 3 days leave.
It should have been 10 days, but the Red Cap came aboard and scrubbed it out, changed it.
And where did you go for your 3 days leave?
Went home to my grandmother.
And how were you received at home?
Oh.
The people, neighbours.
Fantastic.
So you were there just three days, and then you went back to Rugeley?
No. One day over the top, and the Major Wills was the Will cigarette man. He was in charge. He didn't say a word. I was all right. Then we went down, after that we went away. The whole battalion was sent away down to Weymouth to protect the beaches, you know. And that's where we were reinforced. And it was pitiful to see the companies on parade. D Company had 15 men left. 15 men!
And what condition were you in when you actually got back to England?
I was as fit as a lop.
What about clothing and...
Well, my clothes was knackered. Because I might not have told you, when I was going when the tanks passed me, we were attacked by an aircraft, and I jumped into a trench. It was full of shit, cord and smell of roses. So, but anyway, I got that change.
So where did you receive new equipment?
We received most of our new equipment when we joined the battalion.
And that was at
what? That was down in Weymouth. I can tell that was coming in a different part, of course. But I always think about these things. I've told you about Lieutenant Colonel being taken out of action there, be it. And he come back again. But he never followed the action through the desert again. I'm sure the pictures of all the colonels I've got. He never... I'll tell you that we've got... there's plenty of time for this, because when we were reformed, we got an ex-CSM from the depot that was training us, but he came to us as a regimental sergeant major. See? He was a queer bloke, that. He's a good sergeant. He's a good soldier, though. No, I've got to say that.
When you came together again... was it in this area that
you wouldn't see us up here? You never saw any Germans up here. I mean, you would never... The nearest I've been here is when I was finished altogether, and that was at Felton.
No, were you reformed after Rugeley and your leave? Were you reformed into County Durham?
No.
So
we were told where to report to before we left there.
Who did you report to when your leave was over?
Well, first of all... Well, I see what you mean now. I went to Nutsford first, then they were taken straight down to the conversion beaches. Oh, I see what you mean, aye, of course, aye. Oh, we didn't report a bit to anybody. No.
And did you feel that the survivors took some time to settle down again?
Well, I don't think they did. As a matter of fact, I'll be quite frank, the reinforcements are looking to us as if we were Bumrah soldiers. And I'll tell you something now. If you go into action, and if you've been in action, you're worse off than a man that's going into action for the first time, because you know what it's all about.
Where did your reinforcements come from?
Well, we got ours from some from the Shropshires. They're from all over. Some came from the Argyles, you know, Shropshires. Some Daly. And they were built up the strength length. They were all good lads, though.
And this was down in Weymouth?
Yes.
About what time? What time of the year?
Well, as I say, we got back home on the 2nd of June. It was getting on into June, wasn't it? June. I was down there during the big areas, you know, on the beaches. It was rough then. Very rough.
Where were you accommodated?
Well, we went... At the first instance, we went to what you call... Charlbury, but when we're on the beaches, we stayed in a bell tent, and the dugouts is just down the farther away, you see. But when we were relaxing, there was a big house, and what we stayed in there. But we didn't stay in where we moved all over there, that part of the country. I've got it all written down, that line. That's all. I was at Dominion, Newton, Yeovil, Lyme Ridges. So it was quite a. See, we'll get moved around. I mean, you didn't lie on the beaches all the time. You were changed, because the beaches was a bit cold.
How were you received by the civilian population in the area?
Well, do you know what it is? I don't know. They don't seem to. I'll be quite frank with you. This is when I came back home from Dunkirk. We were invited into a house of these two old ladies. And when we told them that we had mine stuck, they didn't believe it. I said, well, that's mad. My grandfather's mine now. I'm younger than mine is. So I said, but you're on about the other place, aren't you now? Down in Weymouth, they were frightened of us. They were scared of us.
What caused this?
I don't know. We did nothing. We were just there to protect them. What we did down Weymouth, we wired all the beaches, you know. We put the wire, when the tide was out, went on and put the wire struts in, and not me, but the other lads did. And gave them barbed wire so that when the tide came in, the wire was under the struts. Not there, never. We used to go up to the films at Weymouth once a week when we were allowed out, like, but there was always a place where you put your rifle. You had to carry a rifle at all times, you know. And on this occasion, I'd been watching this film, I came out, and my rifle number was X5362. And I was with my old mate, Waddy. I said, that's my bloody rifle, isn't it? Can't be yours. That's my bloody rifle, I guarantee. I bet it's X5362. And sure enough, it was my rifle. But it didn't belong to me. I had my own rifle. It belonged to a Corporal Hill. He just come from the temple with the reinforcements. I says, he got my rifle there. He says, no. I says, I can't give it back. I says, I know. So I'd lost it at Le Pan. Somebody taken it away. I'd get somebody else's.
You said that you had to carry your rifle around while you were down in...
Always.
Wherever you went?
Wherever you went, you carry your rifle. Yes, you did.
Did that not make it a little bit awkward in case...
Well, it may have done that, but we always carried it. There's more to come. I mean, I not only carry them, you have to sleep with them some places. But we carried our rifles all over. It didn't matter where you went, your rifle went and all.
What other memories have you got of this time, Dorset Coast, Devon Coast?
Well, I mean, I'm jumping the gun a bit. I mean, the first... That was where we formed our first bicycle platoon. We had nothing, you see. Private motor car platoon. We had nothing. We came from Dunkirk with nothing. We had a machine gun, but it was a 505 machine gun. You know, that's the thickest. We had no Bren guns, and yet there was bloody Bren guns left on the beach. Mount of Akak. Why the hell couldn't they bring them back? I brought a few grenades back. I fetched two back anyway.
What are the memories, because you said I was jumping the gun, what are the memories have you got that of this time? You're just back into England, and you've moved back down to the south coast.
Well, I remember once when I went on leave, and my idea of leave was to get home and just sling your kid bag into the scullies of my grandmother's house, like. My mother was divorced, like. So I says, this bloody kid bag's very heavy. So anyway, I didn't care. I got a lift back, and I got the taxi from Durham, and I got back to Chesley Street. I lived in Chesley Street. And I had my fortnight's leave, and I went back, and it was when we were on the coast. And I opened my kid bag, and on the top was full of bloody big stones. Billy Symes, he's dead now, rest his soul. I says, well, I've took the boogers home, I've brought them back with us again. They are. it was a queer, we were all good lads.
What about training?
Training was very strict. training. Well, I always went on a week's course, several times down there. I did 2 week courses, first aid. It's mostly for injections, you know. But when I was down on that one course, I remember Sammy, he's dead now, poor soul. He was swinging his dicks and he caught my knuckle and the term septic. I must have been a bit of a weak state. And the nurse wanted me to stop in the hospital. I says, I want to go with that. There was a woman standing beside you, you know. She says, yeah, that's the way they are. You want to go back again?
Was there any motorised training? Were you still a motorised division?
Well, eventually we did become motorised, eventually. But at that particular time, we had nothing. We had cycles, just bicycles, to bicycle around, and we had motor cars. But I think we'd be in a form, Bill, if Jerry had come across, he'd have gotten his nose bloodied anyway, I think so. What we had would use. I was getting a bloody gem.
How long did it take, do you recall, just to get to a situation where you felt you were pretty well equipped?
Well, we didn't go abroad. Like we're going to the Middle East then, till we were fully equipped, and that was when we equipped. When would that be? Let's see, I'll tell you. When I got back to Battalion HQ with Joe Wingham, he was colour sergeant, he says, Norm, there's some tyne-sized cottage up there in about an hour, 8 hours there. I said, well, that's not what they were made. He said, well, can you get one of the lads in here that can take a Dixie Stew up? I said, I'll try. So we did. We got up to the lads. They'd been there 24 hours without any aid. And they got it. They enjoyed it. And on the way back, the bloody Jerry's mortared. We came back a different way, but the mortar on were. And Johnny Grimes was hitting them in the neck, you know. And he says, Norman, I've been hit and I've shit myself. I said, well, throw that bloody Dixie away, will you? And we got back. And when I got back, Joe Wingham said, you're heroes. I says, you're heroes? I says, get this man dressed. He had a big box full of French medals of some sort. A medal of his out of the world, eh? So there he has a medal, age. I says, get this man to first aid, man. He's bloody bleeding. He cut it in the jugular, you know.
This was at Dunkirk.
Aye, and I've never seen that lad since, Johnny Grimes. That wasn't at Dunkirk. That was a long way back of Dunkirk. But he's a great bloke. But I just thought I'd remember that. There's bits of things I remember, you know.
Coming back to Devon and Dorset, what about leisure? What leisure? How did you...
Well, the most of leisure was simply... you had your days off, you know, and you were allowed to go down into Weymouth, where you had to put your... That's as far as you... Yeah? There wasn't very much you could do. I mean, I couldn't think of anything else. We didn't stay there a long time, mind, I can tell you. Because I think you'd get bored there, mind, quick. Because lying on them beaches was bloody awful. You lay on the beaches. I was lying on the beaches one night, but I was on the telephone. But, Ross, the way to get wrapped around my neck. Anyway, the lads all stood too, you know. But as a matter of fact, I think you may have read about it, it was just a false alarm.
You can't remember the date?
Oh no! All right, it's history. It's history. It's everybody in every man along the invasion course of England would get this out at the same time.